Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I'm so grateful we get to do this together, otherwise we'd just be doing this alone. Which is frightening. So the passage I put on the front of the program this morning are a couple of my favorite parts from the Dhammapada. I started reading this a few years ago, and there's just been something in these parts that have always tugged at me. And the first verse on there says this: greater in combat than a person who conquers 1,000 times 1,000 people is the person who conquers herself. And I keep wondering about this, you know, especially when we're trying so hard to do things. Like, what is strength? What does it mean to be strong? The Dhammapada is one of the earliest collections of the Buddha's writings, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't referencing our current Marvel superheroes, though all cultures have had fascinations with beings that have superhuman power, supernatural things. But I think we all can be safe in the assumption that this isn't what he's talking about. Not the power to win battles, literally, over vast numbers of people, not power over other people. I think what he's talking about has to do with personal strength. The person who conquers herself. Real strength. What is it? We generally talk about strength in two ways, physical and emotional. Take a moment, close your eyes. Put the word strength into your mind. What shows up? Faces of which kind of people? What does that feel like? What kind of feelings do you associate with strength? Maybe throw in the word power and see if that feels any different. What does strength mean to you? What does it feel like? What does it mean to you to be strong? Notice that. Okay, come back. You can open your eyes. Since it is better to show than to tell, I think starting by talking a little bit about physical strength is actually helpful because it's easy to demonstrate. It's easy to see. For those of you who are here, the last time I talked, I told you that I was going to talk about weightlifting the next time I was here, and I promised. I was serious. So I want to talk about strength in a very visible, visceral way, something that you can feel. And I brought something along that's going to help with this. This, is a 45-pound weight plate that I borrowed from my gym. You can see it even brought its own mat. So it fits in real well here. I think it'll stay. I would not recommend using this for Sesshin. That's a little hardcore even for us. But I wanted you to see this. Doing anything, moving anything, takes a certain amount of energy. Small things, big things. So we talk about how much energy we need to do something. So Aaron, I set that there for you. I want you to take one finger and see how much energy it takes to push it over. Was that hard? No. You pushed 45 pounds over really easily with your finger. That's a pretty substantial weight plate. Now, don't do it, but how much energy will it take to lift that up? Can you do it with one finger? Steve tried. I want to pay attention to that. That it requires not much to push something over, and it requires a lot to lift something up. And so that's the other verse I put on your program. It's easy to do what is not good and things that harm oneself. It's very difficult to do things beneficial and good. And I think it speaks often to what is the first vow in our list of vows here at the center, to do no harm. I vow not to kill. I vow not to hurt people. I vow not to hurt myself. I vow not to do harm. Because it's really easy to do things that are destructive. It's really hard to do things that are creative, that give life, to lift something up. And it matters how you do it, how you approach lifting something up. Because you have to put your whole body in it. You can't just use the same amount of energy to lift something up that you use to push it down. If you try, you'll hurt yourself first, and you'll hurt the people around you. So I've thought about this, and I think there are four really good ways to approach lifting something up. I don't want to turn my back to you too much. The first thing that you're going to do when you want to lift something is you find your balance. You steady yourself and you find your balance. If you are off balance, if you're tipping forward or backward or side to side, the moment you move, you're going to fall over. You have to have your body grounded. And you have to have this awareness in your mind to know what that feels like in your body. Steady yourself and find your balance. The second one, engage your posture. You use your whole body for this. Here, all of your muscles need to be engaged. And I know that we're all familiar with the term, like, lift with your legs and not with your back. But it's not just your posterior chain muscles. It's everything. And so you engage. You feel your muscles ready to move. Hips above knees, back straight, shoulders engaged, arms close, hands in position. This is your starting position. We spend a lot of time practicing this. Because without this, if your body is not engaged, if your mind is not aware of where your body is, again, you will tip over. And you will not learn to be stronger if your body is not ready for it. If it's out of alignment, if it's out of position, you'll falter. You won't train your muscles to get stronger. Find your balance. Engage your posture. Meet the weight where it is. The weight is not up here. This is why we lift with our legs and not with our back. Because if we do this, your next trip will be to the chiropractor. We meet the weight where it is, and it's here. And so we meet it. Hips above knees, back straight, shoulders engaged, arms close, hands in position. Four, move everything together. Your whole body moves as one with the weight. There's no separation. There is no longer weight plate and you. You are not moving something else. You are just standing up. There's no separation. You are doing this together. It is all one movement. There's no difference. This is just one thing that's happening. I'm going to move this a little bit out of the way. So welcome to weightlifting. It's really important to note that weightlifting is practice. It's always practice. There is no end. There are always more weights to add to the bar. Those 45-pound plates come actually a lot thinner, so you can add even more. There's no end. This is not meant to be daunting. This is meant to be encouraging. Because we get stronger. And this is where emotional strength comes in. Because you will have days when weights you used to struggle with don't feel too hard. And you will have days when you lift things That should feel easier because you've done it before and you don't understand what's happening. I did that yesterday. Why can't I do it today? Things change. Our bodies change. But the emotional strength is when you keep coming back. I have a friend who's a coach, and she likes to tell people, progress is not linear. We keep coming back. We need our coaches and the people we practice with to be there with us, but they don't lift the weights for us. We're the ones who keep coming back. We're the ones who keep doing it. And we get stronger through persistence and discipline and attention to good form. And we keep being more willing to engage with challenges because there are always new challenges. There's always something new. I remember standing next to a friend of mine at our gym a few years ago, and we were looking at the whiteboard where the workout was posted. And we were both just bracing ourselves. It was going to be brutal. We were not excited. And I looked at him, and I said, sometimes all I think we're doing here is training to be brave. I still think that. But it's good to remember that. We're not here to conquer something. We're here to show up and try. So we understand physical strength because it's pretty easy to see, and we sense the discipline that it requires to learn how to do this. And you can lift the weight, or you can't. It's pretty clear. And so you keep training, and after a while you get to say, I can lift heavy things, and it feels good. But it's the emotional strength that you've developed along the way that's what keeps you coming back day after day, not whether you feel like you're succeeding or failing. This emotional strength, we know that it is part of what it means to be strong. It's crucial. Emotional strength is the kind that you use to face difficult situations and meet life directly in a way that's grounded. The calm in the midst of the storm. In one of Paula Arai's books, I think it was Women Living Zen, she referred to a peace that cannot be shaken. And I was like, oh, that's it. That's real strength. This is the strength that comes from the discipline and mastery of ourselves. This is the strength that the Buddha was talking about. This is what that looks like. And I was thinking about it, and I realized that there's a word that comes to mind that also works like this for strength for me, and that word is love. Only I haven't always associated those two things together, and we don't often. And if there's another word that we instinctively don't connect with strength, it's loving kindness. We talked about this a lot for you, those of you who are in practice period. Loving kindness. Well, that doesn't sound very strong. That sounds nice. Sounds like it feels friendly. I mean, that's what it means, boundless friendliness. But that doesn't necessarily feel like it's strength, is it? It doesn't really feel like I can lift heavy things. Love is great. We all want to experience that. It sounds like it feels good. But when things get rough, when you're under pressure and it feels like the world is bearing down on you with all of the weight it has, do we really believe that kindness can cut it? That it's enough? Like maybe kindness is good enough for the paved roads, but when you go off-road and the terrain gets harder, maybe you need something tougher. But that's the crux of it. That's the part where love becomes stronger than 1,000 times 1,000. To learn to love really, that is to become strong. For those of you who have heard of her, Pema Chodron is a Tibetan Buddhist nun, and she spends a lot of time working with loving kindness practice. And if any of you are familiar with her teachings, you know that she's not one to mess around. She's a very fierce and loving teacher. She has an incredible strength. She's one of the faces that comes to my mind. I borrowed a lot of her recordings of her sessions and retreats from the public library. They have loads of them. Spend some time with her if you want to. It's really good. That kind of an approach to life, that's lifting heavy things. To really love requires great strength. And I want to read something to you that really has sunk in deep for me, that really speaks to this. Muscle mass does not always equal strength. Strength is kindness and sensitivity. Strength is understanding that your power is both physical and emotional, that it comes from the body and the mind and the heart. And I love this. It's beautiful. And a lot of you could not be blamed for thinking that that might be Thich Nhat Hanh. It's not. It's Henry Rollins. Oh, good. You know. So this is not a personal endorsement of Black Flag. It's a band. But these words about strength being from the body and the mind and the heart. This is part of an essay that he actually wrote on weightlifting. And this is a man who understands what strength is. Body and mind and heart. So how do you tell? How do you tell if what you're offering people is love? If you're familiar at all with the practice of nonviolent communication, the litmus test for nonviolent communication is, are you controlling or are you connecting? There is so much that we call love that isn't. And anything where we try and show up and control the behavior of other people or changing situations because we know it will be better if it's just done this way, that's using your energy to shove things around, to push things over, not to lift things up. People get hurt that way. You get hurt that way. And Thich Nhat Hanh, and this really is Thich Nhat Hanh, says it this way. To love without knowing how to love wounds the person you love. To love without knowing how to love wounds the person you love. Real love is all about connection. It's about awareness and offering. And the only thing that you can control or direct is your own energy. We talked about this in practice period two. All that matters is your intention. And sometimes we can even be misguided about our intention, but this is why we practice. Our intention is what matters. And so we practice. We practice offering love to ourselves, to others. How do we strengthen this? How do we work on those muscles? How do we practice learning how to love? Well, I had a few ideas. One, steady yourself. Find your balance. If you are not truly aware of where you are, if you're not grounded, you can't begin to love not yourself, not anyone else. Are you grounded? Are you balanced? Do you know where you are? Two, engage your posture. Are your posterior chain muscles in place? Hips above knees, back straight, shoulders engaged, arms in close, hands in position. This is Zazen. Same instructions. This is your starting position. This is where we begin. This is where we start to practice learning how to love. We do not sit this way just to do something right or to be good. We practice this is because this is where we start working with ourselves. Over and over, we come back to this. We come back to our starting position, which is here. Steadfast. Grounded. Without this, without this as your starting position, you will try to lift things and you will hurt yourself and you will hurt others. because you do not understand where you are and what you're doing. A lot of us get so frustrated. I want to go out and help. I want to go out and change things. People are hurting. I want to help. I want to love. I want to do things. I want to make things better. But if you do not lift from a place where you have a good starting position, we will be wandering around and making a lot of noise. I love the in Corinthians in the Bible. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am but a banging gong and a crashing cymbal. Without love, what we do is not loving. We have to start here. Steady yourself, find your balance, engage your posture. Meet the world where it is. If you are reaching down to help somebody, that's not love. That's fixing. You have to get down to whatever you are with and meet it where it is. Compassion, to suffer with. Not to fix from above or pity over. Or arrange. We suffer with. We meet everything where it is. So if you are in good form and you are love, what you are offering is love. Everything moves together. There's no separation anymore. Whatever you're doing, it's only one thing moving. We talk about this here. Giver, receiver, and gift. The wheel. And if you can see that there is still a giver and still a receiver and still a gift, go back to your starting position. Reset your body, reset your mind. If you can't figure out where those things begin and start, then that might feel like love. And it reminds me of when we're serving orioki in Sishin. And one person is holding the bowl and one person is holding the ladle. But the intimacy you feel, you can't tell the difference anymore, who's giving and who's receiving and what's happening. There's just the intimacy of that. There's just one thing happening. Nobody's lifting anybody else. We're just moving together. This kind of love is rare. It takes an incredible amount of awareness and energy and balance. Loving kindness is not for the faint of heart. So it's important to remember that Zazen is practice, just like weightlifting. There's no end. There is always more to come to. Our bodhisattva vows over and over again, beings are numberless, vowing to free them. This isn't meant to be daunting. This is meant to be encouraging. Because as we practice with good form, we get stronger if we keep coming back. And there will be days when 10 minutes of Zazen is like, oh, okay, I can do this. And there are days, if you've been practicing for years, when 20 minutes of Zazen can feel like, whoa, what just happened? I used to be able to do this. Progress is not linear. We are constantly changing, shifting beings, and everything is constantly shifting around us. Every day is different. Every moment is different. Come back. Find your starting position. This is why it's so important to have coaches and friends, our teachers and our Sangha around us to help correct our form, to help encourage us, to lift next to us, to love next to us. We keep doing this whether it feels good or not. And some days we feel wiped out and weak, and some days we stand up and say, yes, I can lift this. I can love this. But it doesn't happen immediately. Like I told my friend at the gym, someday I sit in the zendo often and I think sometimes the only thing that we're doing here is training to be brave. But if we keep doing this, the strength comes. We will meet ourselves and others with more awareness and more kindness and more love. Remember, it's easy to do what is not good and things that harm oneself. It's very difficult to do things beneficial and good. But this is what we do here. We choose the hard thing, the difficult thing. To do what is good is not easy, but it is good. During practice period, we were studying Christina Feldman's book, Boundless Heart, on the Four Immeasurables. Loving kindness, compassion, joy, equanimity. And Sharon Salzberg has written a wonderful book. It's called The Kindness Handbook. And they're both really, really good books. But if you can see, they both have a picture of a flower on the cover. And this bothered me for a while. Because like love and strength, flowers aren't the first picture that comes to mind when I think of strength. We often think of the words beautiful or delicate, but not strong. Like, maybe I would have felt better if the books were covered in tire tread or something. Like, that would have felt better to me. Like, that would have felt more real. But if you think about it, because I was trying to be kind, think about the strength it takes for a flower to sprout and push through how many pounds of pressure of dirt to grow. Growing is never easy, no matter what size you are. To grow, to become fully itself. That sounds like strength. These books are good books. Sharon Salzberg, in the beginning of hers, even in the introduction, she says this: it takes boldness, even audacity, to step out of her habitual patterns and experiment with a quality like kindness, to work with it, and see how it might shift and open up our lives. For kindness to be more fully realized, it needs to be distinguished from being ineffectual or meek. It needs to be infused with wisdom. Kindness needs to be supported by courage and threaded with balance. Courage and balance in the midst of all of our impermanence, that sounds more like heavy lifting to me. The immeasurables balance each other out. And just because something takes a lot of energy doesn't mean that there isn't a great amount of joy. It feels good to lift things. It feels good to love. It really can. And when it's real, it's not about accomplishing something. It's about connecting and engaging with something or someone. Real relationships. That feels like strength. Greater in combat than a person who conquers 1,000 times 1,000 people is the person who conquers herself. It's easy to do what is not good and things that harm oneself. It's very difficult to do things beneficial and good. But it's worth it. It's worth doing. And so we keep practicing over and over again. We keep learning to lift everything up. Thank you. And I think we've got a fair amount of time left. If anybody has anything they'd like to offer, like good weightlifting tips, I'm all ears. Yeah.
I just wanted to share, like you mentioned Sharon Salzberg, and I was actually listening, like on my calm app this morning, Tamara Letta was talking about how Sharon has like this group of friends that all like text each other when they're done with their meditation. It's like a thumbs up or whatever.
Oh.
And that's just like a cute way to like connect over it.
Yeah. Just checking in. We need Sangha. We cannot do this alone. Nobody can lift it for us, but we cannot do it alone. Anybody else? Yeah.
First of all, I really appreciate this whole talk. It was very good. I just wanted to add some insight in my interpretation of the whole concept of the flower.
Yeah.
When I think of that, I think of strength and the challenge it takes for the flower to emerge through the soil and to grow in the way it does. But the part I think that also is important to keep in mind is that the flower takes ultimate pleasure in doing that, and it does that also while taking a lot of strength. It also does it effortlessly. It doesn't have to try as much energy as it's spending. Somehow it knows that this is what it's supposed to do, and so there's a dichotomy there of great challenge and difficulty, yet effortlessness at the same time. So I just wanted to put that wrinkle in there.
No, it's not a wrinkle. It's beautiful. We talk so much here about being our true selves. And when you're doing that, when you're working with what that feels like, we talk about effortless effort. Like if you're really in the movement, of course you're doing something, but you're also not doing something. Like, you're just being you. And this is just the expression of you. And so what you're talking about is perfect. That effortless effort, because both are happening. And it's just the process of being. And it's beautiful. Thank you. John?
The point where you talked about if you're not centered and aligned properly and lift, and you're going to need to be making an appointment with a chiropractor. I thought also here we can think of teachers and other Sangha members as chiropractors.
Yeah.
And be afraid to approach and sit with teachers here.
No, we need that support. We need that support so much because you cannot go through life without getting hurt. And we try our best, but that doesn't mean that we'll do it right all the time. And so we ask for help when we need it. Apologies are also lovely. We're never done. I'm sorry I dropped that on your foot. I didn't mean to. I meant well. I was trying. Yeah, we do this together. We need each other. Hey, Carrie.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful talk. And just so poignant and useful to everyday life. I was speaking with another group I meditate with, and your quote that it's easy to do what is not good and things that harm oneself, and it's difficult to do things beneficial, right? We were saying, wow, if we, you know, if there are some new meditators and they're saying, if I can, you know, meditate for 5 minutes a day, I'm doing great, right? But really, what we're talking about, like, how much is 5 minutes of your day? If you said every day, I just clean for 5 minutes a day, that's all I do. I mean, and I don't clean any more than that, you would kind of be down on yourself, like, you don't clean that much, that's really not a lot of time. Or you put, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours into a movie, and you sit down without thought of that, right? Or, and while you're eating a bag of chips, you know? Right? It's very easy to do things that are potentially, you know, harmful, or, you know, or engage in an argument, or be stuck on a point, or hold a grudge for years, right? Versus, like, how many of us are sitting for even 5 minutes a day?
Yeah. I keep telling people that weightlifting and Zen is the exact same thing. what you're talking about, you know, we start where we are, but we don't stay there. If you walk into the gym and you can lift 10 pounds the first day, great. If you're still lifting 10 pounds in 2 years, I bet you could do a little bit more. I bet you could keep pushing yourself. We grow. And that's not to deny pleasure. This is not some sort of like, if it's not painful, you're not doing it right. You know? But enter in that place where you're growing. Pleasure, joy, wonder. Those are all beautiful things. It isn't all done with an attitude of muscling up. Strength is not all muscle mass. It's kindness. Body, heart, mind, all of it. We start where we are and we keep growing. Thank you, Carrie. That's cool. Tanya.
So, I know you kind of appreciate the supernatural. So, I'm reading a book. It's an interpretation of the King Arthur stories. And the series is particularly focused, it's from the perspective of Merlin the Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you who know Merlin the Wizard, oftentimes in the King Arthur stuff, he's known for all of these supernatural, wizardy type things. Well, the reason I'm enjoying this particular book is The Crystal Cave is the first in the series. It's coming from the perspective that the power of Merlin the Wizard is actually an internal power from sitting and being very focused internally, and that the things that other people perceive as supernatural and wizard-like are really just everyday things to Merlin the Wizard. And for the weightlifting, it actually has a part about how, like, the Stonehenge rocks get put into place.
Huh.
And from Merlin the Wizard's perspective, it's all just about engineering and figuring out the right way to orient the rocks. And for everyone else in the world, they're just, like, amazed because it was supernatural that it happened. So.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Very good fictional story.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I love about our tradition is that Buddha never proclaimed himself to be anybody special. He just said, I've worked on this for a long time. Try it out. See what it feels like for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Do it yourself. And so we think, oh, Buddha, not me. But stick with it. And you know, there is no end to practice. And so we get to try forever. We keep get to get stronger. Thank you, Tanya. Last call, Dennis.
Just quick. I very much enjoyed your talk. I thought it was very timely and useful. The one part that really reached out to me was your reminder of meeting the world where it's at.
Yeah.
I don't know about everybody else, but sometimes I lose focus and focus on that aspect. So thank you. I have nothing grandiose to add to it. I just wanted to thank you for pointing that out to me. So.
I'm grateful it was helpful. Sometimes I'm often told that anybody who gives talks just writes them for themselves. And so these are all things that I am holding in my heart right now and need as a reminder for my own practice.
Good reminder then that you're not alone, because I think it reached out to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are never alone. We can feel like it, but we aren't. Thank you, everybody.